The BBC presents The Day of the Triffids.
Drusilla, there's a light.
A searchlight? What does it mean?
Someone's trying to get the sighted people together.
Then we're not alone.
Scratch a pointer on the window ledge, then first thing in the morning, we'll identify the building.
Episode 3, Conference and Confusion.
I lay awake for a long time on that first night after the disaster, listening to the shuffling and tapping of the blind in the street below. When I did go to sleep, I slept heavily and late. I woke to find the sun shining and Drusilla making coffee on the oil stove. She was wearing a ski suit, and jolly nice she looked at it.
Hello, Bill. Ready for breakfast?
I'll shave first. I feel a bit scruffy.
Shall I heat some water?
No, I'll manage with coal. There's one of those patent creams in the bathroom. Hang on, I'm forgetting about that light we saw. Let's take a look at the mark we made and see where it came from.
I did, before you woke. It points towards London University Tower.
Yes, it would be that direction. Oh, and look, they're flying two flags. That's it, all right.
We better go straight there after we've eaten. It's funny. The streets are quite different from yesterday.
Fewer people about.
And look how they creep along the gutter. Yesterday they were all clinging to the house fronts.
It's easier going by the curb. This is the turning we want.
Steady. I think there's something happening at the gates.
There's quite a crowd. Do we investigate or clear out?
Investigate.
I think so, but don't let's get embroiled.
If we got through those houses and into one of the gardens, we could work our way quite close to the gates without being seen. If there's anyone to see us. Come on.
Be reasonable. There's nothing we can do about you.
And who do you think you are to shut yourselves up in there? Who do you think you are? You didn't think that I'm one of these helpless wretches and can't see you. I can see you all right.
What's happening?
Come up beside me.
But look here.
There's a sort of agitator chap trying to get in.
Be reasonable.
He's arguing with that chap inside the gate.
Do you think all these people haven't got the same right to live as you? They have, you know. It's not their fault they're blind, is it? It's nobody's fault, but it's going to be your fault if they starve, and you know it.
Yes.
I've been showing them where to get food, but there's only one of me, and there's thousands of them.
Yes.
You could help them too, but you won't. All you think of is looking after your own lousy skins.
Yes. But look here, how long do you think the supplies will last?
How the blazes would I know? What I do know is that of all us blokes who've still got our eyes, don't muck in and help. There aren't going to be many left alive by the time they come to clear this mess up.
But who do you think's going to come?
Oh, that's it, is it? You're scared. Frightened that if you give them food, there won't be enough for you. Lovely people, aren't they? Well, if you won't come out to us, we'll come into you.
Let go!
There's his arm. Hold him. While I undo the gate.
Let me go! Johnson! Edwards! Bring the stands!
Coming!
Don't shoot!
Oh, no. To shoot at them like that.
They fired over their heads.
How do you know?
If they'd fired into that crowd with two Sten guns at a range of 20 yards, the street wouldn't be empty now.
But all the same, even to frighten them like that.
They had to do something.
That man, the one who spoke, was right.
In a way.
You know he was.
But he was wrong as well. You see, there is no they to come and clear up this mess. It won't be cleared up except by us. And one of the things we simply cannot afford to do is to spend our entire time pillaging food stocks on behalf of other people. Because when the stocks are gone, well, what will anyone eat?
It seems so callous.
I don't like it any more than you do, but we've got to make up our minds. Do we help the ones who've still got their sight to rebuild some sort of life, or do we make a moral gesture?
No. You're right, Bill. We've got to go on.
Then let's go over.
But the men with the guns.
They won't hurt us. We are sighted. Can you get down?
Give me a hand. There.
Can we come in?
How many of you?
Just the two. We saw your signal last night.
Okay, come on over.
We had a bit of a party just now.
Yes, we saw it.
Those were the orders, not to let them in.
You'd better report to the colonel, just inside on the right. The door marked reception.
Highly organized.
Rather alarming.
This seems to be it.
Come in. Newcomers? Glad to have you with us. I'll just take a few particulars. Your name, sir?
Mason.
Initials?
W.J.
Address?
The Twitten, Panghurst, near Worthing, if it makes any difference.
We must keep the record straight. I'm hoping to get a form run off as soon as we collect someone who can work a duplicator. Age?
29.
Occupation?
Triffid grower.
Not much call for that now, I'm afraid. And you?
Clayton J.V. of 42 Dean Road, NW8. Age 22, no particular occupation.
Independent.
Very.
Miss, I presume?
Yes.
Well, we need good men. Nasty business, this, but there's plenty to be done. Ah, Mr. Beadley.
Hello.
Two new arrivals, Mr. Mason and Miss Clayton. Pass to you for action.
Oh, how do you do? Come across to my office.
Sure you don't want references in triplicate?
Oh, you're thinking of the colonel. Yes, he's a bit of a civil servant. Still, he's right in a way. We've got to get ourselves organized. Go in here.
What's the position at the moment?
Well, so far, there are about 35 of us. And we hope some more will come in during the day.
Have they all got their sight?
28 of them. The rest are relatives or children. Now, at the moment, the general idea is that we move away from here sometime tomorrow and go down to the country.
We were going down this afternoon.
Oh, what transport have you got?
A station wagon. We haven't stocked it up yet. We've got a lot of anti-triffid gear.
Well, that's a funny thing to make your first essential.
Not as funny as all that.
I think they're going to be a good deal of trouble.
Oh, but surely there aren't enough to cause a lot of bother.
There are plenty in the nurseries.
Oh, yes, but they're all fenced in. Oh, still, bring the gear by all means if you think it'll come in handy. Oh, by the way, you do want to come with us.
I think so, Gisella.
Yes.
Good. Then here's what I suggest. Dump your stuff and then drive your car off and swap it for a good big lorry.
Right.
Oh, do either of you know anything about doctoring?
Not a thing.
Nor me.
Oh, pity. Otherwise, I'd have sent you off on a medical scrounge. You'd better go after the stuff on this list.
Pots and pans, blankets and food.
Yes. And concentrate on bulk. Cans and packets are your best line. Do as much as you can before dark. There'll be a general meeting and discussion here about 9:30 this evening.
Righto.
Well, have you got a pistol?
No.
You better have, just in case. And you, Miss Clayton. Here.
Sure.
Less messy than that knife.
Oh, I feel like a gangster.
Well, that's better than being a gangster's mole, which is what you'll become if some of the citizens of this town get hold of you.
I know.
Well, see you this evening. And good scrounging.
Whoa! Whoa! Switch off.
Sorry about that.
You must double declutch when you change down on these things. You can't just slide through as you can on a car.
Yes, I see. Otherwise, it's not too bad.
You were doing fine till then.
Get a bit wired on corners. It's like having a row of houses behind you. Lucky there aren't many people in these parts.
That's because it happened after working hours. If people had gone blind in the daytime, Lord knows what it would be like.
Awful to think of them still in their houses. Pinner and Stepney and Kensington.
Not only awful, but quite unprofitable.
Sorry.
What's the next warehouse on our list?
A blanket wholesaler in Tooley Street.
And then back we go. I'm stiff after all that loading up.
What do you think I am?
Think you can manage to drive?
That's for you to say.
Yes, you'll do. Then I'll follow you down in the other truck.
Right. Park it there. Oh, Miss Clayton, isn't it? Which list were you working from?
15. Here's Bill.
All right, Bill. Straighten her up. That's fine. Well, how have you made out?
We've got all this stuff on the list.
And a bit more besides.
We've made a couple of plans of where it's all packed in case you want to find anything in particular.
Oh, jolly good. I wish they'd all do that. Is this Triffid gear you put down here?
Yes, I thought it might come in useful.
Oh, yes, of course. You brought a lot in this morning, didn't you?
It doesn't take up much room.
Still... Oh, well, leave it on for the moment. I dare say you could do with a cup of tea. There's a canteen operating in the hall. All right, the next one in. Come along.
There are far more people here than there were this morning.
Yes. Do you notice those girls over there, all sitting together?
They're blind, aren't they?
But not helpless. They must come from some institute. Wonder why.
Excuse me. Mr. Mason and Miss Playton?
Yes.
Good.
Keep quiet still, please. I want a picture of you.
Don't tell me you're the press.
Oh, more or less. At least I'm the official record. Elspeth Carey is the name, formerly of the Post.
This sounds like the Colonel's doing.
It is. I say, are you really Gisella Playton?
Yes. And I wrote that book, and none of it's true. And I really don't see why the one static thing in a collapsing world should be my reputation.
Fair enough. Somebody said you were worried about Triffids.
I am.
They think he's got a bee in his bonnet about them.
And have you?
I think they're troublesome enough to be taken seriously when they get out of hand.
Yes, but surely that couldn't happen in England.
All sorts of things can happen in England now.
Yes, but... Oh, there's Ivan. He may be able to tell us something. He's been cruising round in a helicopter all afternoon. Ivan!
Hello.
Ah, Bill Mason, Drusella Playton. This is Ivan Simpson, our intrepid bird man. Well, did you see any Triffids wandering around outside London?
Triffids? Oh, I don't think so. Not that you'd notice them much from the air, and besides, I was too busy following roads to take in much else.
What are the roads like?
Not too bad. Most of the drivers seem to have had time to pull up, and of course, it wasn't a busy time of day. I went as far as Reading, and they seemed pretty clear.
Did you see many people?
Hardly a soul. They don't go out very much.
Everybody in the lecture theatre, please, for a conference.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Everybody, please.
What do you think this is going to be about?
Tomorrow's routine and so on.
We're a funny mixed crowd. Michael Beadley seems to be organizing the platform.
All very efficient. They've even got a gavel.
Ladies and gentlemen. And it's probably the last time I shall use that phrase. The committee has appointed me as its chairman, and now I'm going to introduce them to you. But first of all, I want to say this. The world we knew has ended in a flash. And some of us may be feeling that it's the end of everything. It isn't, you know, unless we allow it to be. We've got to count our blessings, and whatever happens, avoid being sorry for ourselves. After all, if this disaster hadn't come upon us, you know, it's quite possible that something worse might have happened. And we've known that it might since the first bomb was dropped on Hiroshima in 1945. As it is, we have our health, the earth is intact, unscarred, and still fruitful. We can begin to build again, and we must start now.
Very well, sir.
Now, as you know, one of our main worries today has been that we've not come across anyone with medical knowledge. And so I'm particularly glad to welcome Miss Burr, who is not actually a doctor, but does hold high nursing qualifications. I'd like her to say a few words, Miss Burr.
Oh, my goodness. Must I?
Please.
I can only say that I'll do everything I possibly can. We must expect a certain amount of infection to be about in the next few days, and you can help us to avoid it by reporting at once if you feel at all unwell, and by eating nothing that has been exposed to the air, and by drinking nothing unless it has been boiled or comes out of a bottle.
Quiet, please.
After the meeting, will everyone please line up to be inoculated against typhoid, paratyphoid, and cholera?
Thank you very much, Miss Burr.
Sure.
Our last speaker is going to talk on a rather different subject. Here is Dr. Vorlis, who is Professor of Sociology at the University of Kingston.
My friends, I think I may claim to be the oldest among you, and I have spent my life studying the varied institutions of mankind. I have always been struck by the fact that every age and every community has evolved its own moral code to meet its own peculiar circumstances. And moreover, every man believes his own code to be not only the right one, but the only one for him. Although he would not deny that life in a penurious Indian village calls for different customs and manners from life in, say, Mayfair.
What's he getting at?
Oh, shh! Thank you, madam. The point I am about to make is this. The world we knew is gone, finished. Our needs are now different, therefore our standards must be different. For instance, you have all spent the day indulging with clear consciences in what 2 days ago would have been housebreaking and theft. Yes, you have already lost one prejudice, and now I suggest to you that you must lose others. The only one which we dare retain is that which tells us the human race is worth preserving. Anything that will help to preserve it is good, whether we've been brought up to believe it so or not. Anything that will not help must be abandoned. Pour me some water, please.
Of course, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. There is one thing to be made quite clear to you before you decide to join our community. It is that the men must work, the women must have babies. Unless you can agree to that, there can be no place for you. We can afford to support a limited number of women who cannot see because they will have babies who can see. In our new world, then, babies become very much more important than husbands.
What are you grinning at?
People's expressions.
Michael looks a bit anxious.
He should worry. If Brigham Young could bring it off in the middle of the 19th century, this ought to be a pushover.
Think so? Here's someone who doesn't agree with you.
Are we to understand that the last speaker is advocating free love?
I think the questioner must be aware that I never mentioned love, free, bought or bartered. Will she please make the question clearer?
I am asking if you suggest the abolition of the marriage law.
All the laws we knew have been abolished by circumstances.
There is still the law of decency.
Oh, now, Miss Durrant. A Mohammedan preserves rigid respectability with three wives. So did Solomon with 300. These are matters of local custom. For our survival, we must develop our own customs in these matters. And those who choose to come with us must adhere to them. Those who do not wish to are perfectly free to start other communities on such lines as they think fit.
Well.
Oh, dear. It's nice to be alone again.
Shall we sit? What's the matter?
Shall we sit this one out? Just a thought.
It's a lovely night. How's your arm?
Not too bad. She's quite good, that nurse.
The needle was blunt by the time it got to me.
We girls were so busy arguing, we wouldn't have noticed even that.
I bet you were. How many will decide to come?
Nearly all of them, by morning.
You think so?
Most women want babies. A lot of them prefer them to husbands.
Do they?
Provided they've got some sort of security.
Oh.
Don't tell me you're going to cling to the old order.
No, but... I don't know, it's difficult.
What is?
I was going to ask you to marry me, but there doesn't seem any point in it now.
Oh, Bill.
Well, is there?
I don't know. But I'll accept you all the same.
Oh, my darling. Josella.
Did you really think I wouldn't?
I didn't know.
Of course, it isn't quite as straightforward as it seems.
Why not?
I think if I were the committee, I should make it a rule that every man who marries a sighted girl must take on two blind girls as well.
What?
Well, that's about how the numbers work out.
But you don't mean that.
I do, and so do they. Didn't you think it was implied in that speech?
It may have been, but I don't see that they can hold anyone to it.
Meaning you don't love me enough to take on two other women as well?
No, 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 but... Well, it's crazy, unnatural.
No, it isn't. Listen, Bill. This isn't easy for me either. But we do owe a sort of debt for being alive and able to see. One of the ways of paying it is to help these girls to as full a life as they can have.
I think that's the queerest argument I've heard today.
And yet it's right. I know it is.
Very well. If that's the way you think it ought to be.
Oh, darling. You do understand. I knew you would.
All the same.
Now, don't worry any more. I shall choose two nice, sensible girls.
Oh, will you? Good.
It's getting late. You better go in.
Yes, it's been quite a day.
Downstairs, everyone, and help out the blind. They're on the ground floor. How quick as you can. Mind the stairs. You all right, Bill?
Yes, I'm all right, thanks. Where's Josella?
She's down. Hurry up. The smoke's thickening.
Here comes one, Coker. Right. Tighten the tripwire.
Right. Oh.
Push him, one. Right. Get him in the lorry.
Right.
Here comes another.
Josella, are you down there? Josella.
He's out. Get him away. No, wait a minute. There's another.
Not a bad bag. Not at all a bad bag.
Wakey, wakey. Rise and shine. That's right, I thought I heard you.
Oh, my head.
You had an accident, mate. That's what you had.
My hands. Who's tied them up?
Now, take it easy, cop. There's no harm intended.
What's happened?
I'll tell you in a tick. Here, where are you?
Over here.
Oh. Now, I've got the mug of char for you. Can you get it between your hands? Yeah.
Got it.
If it tastes a bit funny, it's the rum old Charlie put in it.
Who's old Charlie?
He's our cook, Charlie.
Who are you?
I'm Alf.
Now tell me where I am and why I'm tied up.
Ah, it's a bit of a lark, really. Here, have a fag and I'll tell you. Light mine, will you? Tar. Well, you know, there was a bit of a shindy up at the university yesterday morning.
I saw that.
Yeah, well, after we'd scarpered, that bloke Coker that was doing all the talking, he got real nasty. And he said you'd have to take what was coming to you. Well, we met up with a couple of other fellas as could see, and they fixed it all up between them.
Fixed what?
The fire. He's a lad, that Coker. Can't help laughing.
Do you mean the fire was faked?
Well, of course it was. They rigged up a tripwire or two, lit a lot of paper and stuff in the hall, and started ding-dogging the old bell, see? As soon as you come downstairs, over you went bonk, went Coker with a gosh, and we put you on the lorry. Dead easy.
Where are we?
In a hotel. It's a posh one, too. Got a palm tree in the hall. Oh, I know that, because I walked into it. Can't help laughing, can you?
I can.
Oh, you don't want to take it like that.
How many of us did you get? A
couple of dozen, but six was blind.
And what are you going to do with it?
Well, get organised, I suppose. Hello, is this Coker now?
Yes.
Here, morning, Captain. All correct.
Come on in, mate.
Stand there. Now you. Name?
Mason.
Let's have your hands. Now, I'm going to untie them, but don't try anything on. We've some rough customers around here.
What the blazes do you think you're doing?
I'll tell you in a minute. If you won't help other people, you've got to be made to. Yeah. Mac?
Right. I'm coming.
Handcuffs.
Here, what the...
Shut up. That'll give you a bit more freedom.
A bit.
All you'll need. Let's have the chain, Mac.
Here. I put the strap around my right wrist.
Good. Then you get that side of him. The chain through his arm, so. Alf?
Yeah?
You on the other side and the strap round your left wrist.
Ah, yeah, right.
There.
Sort of a shotgun wedding.
Now, Mason, I want you to look at this street plan. You're going to take these two and 50 others, and you'll be taken by a trap to your area. Once there, you'll find them accommodation and lead them to supplies. Now, there'll be others working to right and left of you, so stay in your boundaries.
How am I supposed to help anyone tied up like this?
You'll manage. Now, here's your area. Maida Vale to Fitzjohn's Avenue. No further in than Swiss Cottage, but as far out as you like. Now, I shouldn't let them get angry if I were you. Some of them are tough.
Aye. And some of them have knives, mister. I'm one.
And I'll be out to check up on where you are. But otherwise, you'll be on your own till someone turns up to straighten out this mess.
If they come.
They'll come. You'll probably get a medal for your noble work. Okay?
One thing.
Yeah?
Did you get a girl called Josella Platon in your raid?
I think so.
Where have you sent her?
Westminster.
Oh, that lot won't find much grub. Not in the Houses of Parliament, they won't.
And don't you try wandering off to find her.
He won't.
I believe you, Mac. Lead him down to the street. The truck's waiting.
On the best of luck to us.
Six steps. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Well, we better go in and have a look around first on our own.
Wait where you are. The lot is.
One more small step and into the hall.
Yeah. Hotel, is it?
Yes.
Here, any palm trees?
No, it's not as grand as that.
Oh.
Seems empty.
Now, well, what's the drill?
Bring them in four at a time, hands on shoulders, and find them somewhere to sleep.
The first four of yous. Come on.
Six steps, remember.
One, two, three. Oh, it's funny. I never thought what it'd be like kipping down three of us strung together.
There's a lot of things you never thought of.
Ah, shut up.
No, but he's right, mate. It's going to be difficult.
And how difficult will it be if your aunt pushes off and leaves us on our own?
Ah.
I've never said I'd do that.
But you would if you could.
And I don't blame you, mate.
But I'll carve you if you try.
I'm no use to you dead. You won't be dead, man. Just carved.
Oh, let's change the subject. Hey, what do we do tomorrow?
Forage for food.
Aye, and the next day we'll eat it.
No, it'd be best to get quite a stock in. Spend a week or so going out every day, and then there'll be no chance of anyone else pinching it.
Yeah, that's true. Huh. And afterwards we can sit back quietly here, fair lopping it up.
Until we run out.
Some sort of thing will happen. Don't you worry.
Is anyone there?
Who's that?
That's a kid they call Lucy. Now come in. What do you want, Ducks?
A man who can see.
I'm here.
Can you come up, please? There's something wrong.
What is it?
Some of the people are ill. They're very hot and they've got dreadful pains. I think they've got something bad.
How come? And so will you two, by the way.
Some sort of thing will happen. Don't you worry, Mac boy. It is.
That was episode 3 of The Day of the Triffids, a serial for broadcasting in 6 parts by Giles Cooper from the novel by John Wyndham. With Patrick Barr as Bill Mason and Monica Gray as Josella Platon. Production for the BBC by Peter Watts.